Well, let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Exodus chapter 20. Our missionary brother Morrissey has some books back here, Soul Winning Works, some soul winning stories, and it's kind of encouragement for that. So if you were interested in that, I think there's a small price there. Helps them pay for their deputation and so forth. That's out back out here. You'll notice his little display out there. If you go out the door to the right, and so after the service, I encourage you to stop by and visit with them. And I do also want to say, take some cards and pass them out. I think we're a little short. We've got some more coming in this week for the Christmas Eve. We bought 1,000. They're gone. And so we're going to turn some more out, but that's good. So we'll have those. We have some other just invitations to Christmas out there. You can take those this week until you get back, and if you find that they're all gone. Had a few folks say where my car was this morning. Well, I went and got a new car this weekend, and so the Chrysler's gone. And I always keep a box of tissues in there because I've always got sinus problems, so forth. And I pulled them out. Janet went up with me, and I cleaned my car up because I was trading it in. And I brought my box of tissues out and put it in the new car. And the guy at the dealership said, "I thought you were going to bring the tissues in because you were wiping your eyes because the Chrysler was going. You know, it's a big Chrysler 300 with a big engine and all this stuff." And our family is now dispersed. I don't need to haul around so many people. I don't need to spend so much gas. And so I thought, well, I put 100,000 miles on it. And I bought it used before, and it's just about gone. So I thought, well, we'll go ahead and trade. This new thing's got so much technology on it. My soul, I've got to get an electronics degree to use it. Either that or get a hold of a teenager. That could probably figure it out. Exodus chapter 20, if you will. I hope you did well with Thanksgiving and Black Friday, Black and Blue Saturday, Buyer's Remorse Sunday. But anyway, I hope you'll do fine. Have a great season coming up here. Exodus chapter 20. We started this a couple months ago, actually. We've had last few weeks, we've been doing some other things. And our theme this year is Jesus, our hope. And Jesus is our hope. And our hope in everything. But we talked about our hope for success. Now, success is not necessarily money. In fact, the prosperity of a fool shall destroy him. You know, God's not going to give us more money than we can handle because it'll destroy us. It's not necessarily money. But God says we can have good success in life. We can have a good family. We can have sweet things. Listen, we lay our head on the bed the last time and we're ready for the Lord to take us home. We ought to be able to feel like the Lord has blessed and there's been success. By the way, you know what the definition of success is? Having done the will of God for your life. That is success. Whether he gave you 5 talents to use or 2 talents to use or 1 talent to use, if you use it for him and you have done what he's called you to do, you are successful and you get the same reward in heaven. Enter ye into the joy of the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You get the same reward. You do what God has called you to do. You're not accountable for anybody else. That's success. Now, that brought us to a verse in Joshua. We're going to quote that in a little bit, which brought us to, believe it or not, the good old Ten Commandments, which, by the way, we think is old-fashioned. We kind of throw it out the door these days. But look at Exodus chapter 20, verse number 1, if you will. The Israelites have just come out of Egypt. God's setting up the society, if you will. It says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God. I am Jehovah, your supplier, your provision, your protector, your God. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt." It wasn't anybody else. Even if they wanted to tell them a little while later, just not too awful long later, that some calf brought them out. It wasn't who brought them out. It wasn't luck. God brought them out on purpose. He is the Lord of the God, and he brought them out with a high hand. They had been there 400 years, generation after generation after generation. I guess this is the way the life is always going to be for the Jews, for the Israelite people. No, it doesn't have to be. Daddy was a drunk, and granddaddy was a drunk, and great-granddaddy was a drunk, and great-great-great-granddaddy was a drunk. We're just drunks. Doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to be chained to all that mess. He said, "I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." You ever feel chained to your sin? That's what he said. Verse 3. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Then we spoke about that. Nobody, seeking nobody else for your provision, your protection, your philosophy in life. He's your God. Verse 4, which is the second commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Basically, that's saying, don't come up with your own God. Don't try to create God in your image. Don't you decide what God thinks. Listen, we're supposed to seek God in His righteousness. Not our righteousness, not our definition, what He says. So we have to seek Him for who He is. He's God. Don't create anything else. Some people have said, well, He's just a force. The force be with you. No. He's a personal God. If you were in here for Sunday school with Brother Nathan, he talked about the Holy Spirit as a personality. God is not just a force. Yes, He's a spirit. And we worship Him in spirit and truth, but He's not just a spirit. So we have no other gods. Don't try to create your own God. Verse number 7. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That's where we are today. We were singing about his name. Now, folks, I love you. Well, I'm going to say some things this morning you're not going to want to hear. But hang tight with me, all right? I want us to have the success that God wants us to have. And these old-fashioned Ten Commandments sometimes get lost in the shuffle. They got lost with the previous generation. And then we wonder why we don't feel the presence of God like we're supposed to. This might seem very simple, but hang tight with me. Let's pray. And we're going to talk about using the Lord's name. Using the Lord's name. For our social media savvy people, you can entitle it OMG. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you that you didn't just save us and hope we stick and let it go at that, but you gave us your word in black and white. Jesus told us to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and to teach them to observe all things whatsoever you've commanded us. And Lord, there's where the real joy in life is, when we really turn our lives over to you. Now, it's great to have eternal life, but Lord, I want to see our folks enjoy the trip. So Lord, I pray you be with us here this morning. We need your Holy Spirit. May your Holy Spirit be the oil that helps the medicine go down this morning. Please, I give myself to you. Use us here this morning, and we'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Quote it with me, Joshua 1:8. You folks have been here it's been a couple weeks, but I think you can do it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way, and then thou shalt have good. Now that's the law. That's a guarantee for success. The book of the law should not stop being on the tip of your tongue. The book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth. It should be there all the time. Every time you make a decision, every little step you make, everything we do ought to be guided by the word of God. The book of the law should not depart. You say, well, I don't know all of it. Well, come and learn some more. Just keep learning. Listen, you don't expect your one-year-old to be out of diapers. But you expect your six-year-old to. God doesn't expect you to know everything if you're just getting started. But he certainly, listen, he appreciates the effort. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Think about it. Mull it over. Murmur to yourself. Meditate therein day and night. In other words, it's just part of who you are. You say, well, I can't do that. There are people who know the stats of Penn State.
And I know they're having a good time today. And Lord, everything's happy in Happy Valley right now. But they can give you all the stats and all the stuff. They've been thinking about it day and night. Don't tell me you can't do it. Our delight is in the law of the Lord. Listen, God, if we will delight ourselves also, the Lord, He will give us the desires of our heart. Of course, our desires change as we delight in the Lord. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe, keep a hedge, watch on, attend to, make sure we don't miss. That's what it means, to observe, to do according to all. Not pick and choose. Not say, I like this one, don't like this one, this one's out of date. We are in the 21st century. According to all that's written there, and He put it in black and white. Well, I can't remember it. Well, make a photocopy of it. I mean, maybe there were some folks who had a problem years ago because they didn't have a copy of it. We have no excuse. Listen, we have Bibles all over our house with dust on them. There's no reason why we can't pick one of them up, blow it off, and see what it says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. You're going to start making headway. Forward motion. Progress. It didn't say you're going to get to the end all at one time. No. The Lord hath begun a good work with you and shall perform to the day of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because we're a mess. It's going to take that long just to get us halfway where we're supposed to be before He takes us home. But let's let Him keep working on it. That we make our way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There will be good things that we will see the Lord working in our life. Now, at first glance, the book of the law, by the way, is when they wrote that, that's the Ten Commandments. It may be a few other little principles in there as well, but it's at the very least, it's the Ten Commandments. A lot of folks, why? You know, if I ask some folks sometimes, do you know for sure if you die to go to heaven? Well, I'm good. Well, I keep the Ten Commandments. I've wanted to do it. I haven't done it. I don't want to be mean. I want to say, name them. And most of them can't. At first glance, this third law here may seem like this would be an easy message to preach. It's simple. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God in vain. The name of the Lord thy God in vain. It's simple. Of course, we're obviously not guilty of such things. And so we will go through our perfunctory process to do the next law and order and move on. We'll just talk about it and pat everybody on the head and we'll send them out the door. I think actually we may be more guilty of breaking this law than we realize. And I think we're probably more guilty of breaking this law than a lot of the others, the biggies. I'm sure some infractions of taking the name of the Lord in vain is purely unintentional. But yet that means that we can speak the Lord's name without really thinking about it. What we're saying is we're using His name without regard of the one of whom we speak. The person apparently carries little or no weight that we're speaking of when we misuse a person's name, apparently carries very little, no weight in our thoughts. We want to claim the promise of Him making our way prosperous and giving us good success. However, we live our lives as if the Lord is just a person whose name we can toss around with little regard. I hate to say this, but this could be a major infraction on our part. This could be, now wait a minute, you heard the verse, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then, not before, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The then didn't come before the before. It comes after. This could be the reason God is holding back some of His blessing. As simple and unnoticed and commonplace as this may be, this overlooked precept could be the part of the law that we are to observe to do according to all that we're missing. The first four laws of the Ten Commandments have to do with our relationship with God. And then the last six have more to do with our relationship with one another. This particular law, now listen to me, this particular law tells us much about ourselves. The law is our schoolmaster to show us our sinfulness. No one has ever been justified by the law, the Bible says. It does, and he didn't expect us to, because he knows who we are. Jeremiah 17, 9 says, listen, the heart of man is deceived above all and desperately wicked. Who could know it? Next verse says, Lord knows. The law is our schoolmaster. And this simple law reflects and projects much about our relationship with God. Number one, let's see the law. Number one, look at verse 7, Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That word take means to lift, to carry the entity. Take the name of Jesus with you, child. It says take it. We are supposed to take it. We are supposed to. But it says don't take the name of the Lord thy God. And by the way, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, is Jehovah, the self-existing one, God of creation, the Lord of the universe. This is God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And we're talking about vain here in a second. This one that you call your God, don't toss his name around. Do you realize that the rabbis and so forth in the Old Testament a lot of times would never speak the name Jehovah? In fact, that's why we see Jehovah, and we also see Yahweh, and it was the same consonants, no vowels, and no one ever said it because it was too holy to say. In fact, they say that when they were copying from one manuscript to another, when they came to the word Lord, they had to go wash themselves before they come back and even write that word again. They looked at the name of the Lord thy God as holy and righteous with reverence and fear. This is God. This is the one that could go, pow, put your little light out. In fact, he didn't even have to work that hard. It's Jehovah. He says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Let's talk about the word name there for a second. It says, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. That word name is, the way they used it was the conspicuous position. A title. It's a mark. It's a memorial. It's individuality. By implication, the way you use a person's name shows honor or authority, represents their character. The name that we use and how we use it is an expression of our opinion of a person's character. Expression of their position and right to authority in our lives. We had a principal. His name was Mr. Reinemann. I don't even know what his first name was, but remember him, Mr. Reinemann? He went down to school where I just sort of, I don't know whether he was there. You remember him? Okay. And you know how kids are, old man Reinemann. Now, the word old's not bad, and man, the word man's not bad, and the name Reinemann's not bad, but the way we used it, that was in vain. You know what it said? What we thought of old man Reinemann. Now, you know, you laugh and you joke, but the fact is, no one said it to his face. You know, the problem is, God is right here. You know, if you just said, I got old man Reinemann. Hi, Mr. Reinemann. vain. It has the idea, this thing's making noise. Vain has the idea of desolation. That word has a word ruin. It represents uselessness. That word vain. Going to use his name in uselessness. It's a misrepresentation. It's ineffective. It's unproductive. My guess is if I walked into Mr. Reinemann's, hey, oh man, Reinemann, I'll tell you what I was looking for a day. I want to get out of school early tomorrow. Is that all right? That's unproductive. The way we use his name. So number one, the law is don't use the name of the Lord thy God who brought you out of Egypt. Look at it for this for Christians. The one who saved your soul. The one who gave his only begotten son to come to this earth. Live as a pauper. Mocked and scorned. Scourged beyond recognition. Nailed to a cross. Hung with the thorns on his head. Mocked by the crowd. Saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That one. That's the name we're talking about. Don't use his name in vain. You know, we have, and we should, but we have more respect sometimes for our fallen heroes in America than we do for Jesus Christ who gave his life for our soul. Don't you talk about him. He served our country, and he did, and I'm all for it. And we ought to respect those people. We do. We try several times in a year. We make sure we do that. But we're not supposed to use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number two, we saw the law. Number two, we're going to see the practice. We see the practice. How is it that we do that? You can turn to Matthew 7 if you want, if you want to follow along with me here in a moment. Let me say this, Matthew 7:16. Listen to me as you turn. How we use the name of God expresses what is in our heart. Now watch me now. And like I said at the very beginning, I think a lot of us inadvertently do some things that we don't think about, we don't mean disrespect. And I don't want to hurt anybody here. I do want to help us to realize maybe we need to take the name of God seriously. If you take the name of God seriously, it might mean that you're taking him seriously. If you're not taking his name seriously, could it mean that you're not taking him seriously? How we use the name of God expresses that which is in our heart. You stay right where you are, and I'm going to read another account of this, same spot. You stay where we are in Matthew. Luke 6:43 says this, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, if he has good treasure in here, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Now listen to this phrase, you know it. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Whatever our heart is filled with is what comes out. Verse 46 says this, the very next thing, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? They call him their Lord, but they do not really see them as their Lord or their boss because they do as they please. You know, we can throw the name of Lord or the word God or Jesus Christ around like some vernacular, that's not the word. I'm looking for colloquialism. But it really didn't mean anything. It's just what you say. Really? OMG. And some of us, and why that has come out? Because everybody knows what they're saying. You don't even need to write it out. You just put in the letters. Now, I'm not saying you're bad people because you're doing this. I'm saying you're missing out on a blessing because we are. We're missing out on a blessing because we don't respect him for who he is. And this book of the law is not the part of the map. We're supposed to observe it according to all that's written therein. This is one of the ones that's written therein. Do not use the name of the Lord thy God. For he that uses the name of the Lord thy God in vain, he will not hold guiltless. On your passage, Matthew 7:16. It's the same basic conversation, but look what it says. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. That makes it pretty clear there. What do we have in our heart at the moment? I'm not saying we're all total, but the fact is, that's what he's saying. I'm not saying he's saying it here. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. Look at verse 21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Same basic thing, just a little stretched out. So you call me Lord, but you don't treat me as Lord. You don't do what I tell you to do. You call me boss, but you go ahead and do your own thing. Verse 21, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess with them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Listen, these people have never used the name. I'm sorry, these people have used the name of the Lord in vain. They're using, oh, Lord, Lord. They're not, they don't mean what they're saying. They think they can just toss the name around anyway. They want, they think God is going to respect it. Some people get real impressed with some TV personality or religious speaker or politician because they were willing to throw in the name of Jesus in the midst of their rhetoric. Be careful. I'm not trying to judge. Judge not. I understand. I'm just saying, be careful. Because a lot of, there went Jesus. All right, he's our guy. The word went through there. That doesn't mean everything else he's going to do is great. We get all excited. Well, they must be a Christian. Not necessarily. It is not so much about, watch, it's not so much about the actual words we use, but about the heart behind them. How we use the words we say reveals the condition of our heart. How we use the Lord's name is a test of our fear of God. If you think you can toss around the name of the Lord without consequence, you do not fear God very much because he gave us a consequence right there in the word. You're not getting away with this. I will not hold you guiltless. That's pretty clear. Well, this is so old-fashioned. I mean, it's the Ten Commandments. I mean, listen, we tossed that out of the school years ago. I know. And look where it's gotten us. How we use someone's name has much to do with our level of respect for that person. The way we use the Lord's name reflects how much we respect and honor and fear him. Now, this is a tough spot in the message here, so hang on. I don't want to hurt anyone here. But I'm doing this so we understand how to observe, to do according to all that's written there, so we can make our way prosperous and have good success. When I was in high school, actually in junior high, we had a band teacher. His name was Jack Markard. And he was built a lot like me. And by the way, I'm getting in shape. Rounds of shape, just so you know. That man could play brass. I mean, he could play. I mean, he was good. But the fact is, he was our band teacher, but he wasn't really into teaching band. He enjoyed playing at the nightclubs at night. He was a performer. The guy was good. And he could make that jazz band, I mean, he could make that thing talk. And he'd get that thing going, and he'd get out front, and he'd be playing. He's like Doc Severinsen, you know, if anybody knows what I'm talking about there. And he could just make that thing go. He'd just make it talk. Anything that had brass, he could make it talk. But he was kind of a grumpy old guy. And they called him Fat Jack. Fat Jack. We respected what he was musically, but we just figured he didn't really like any of us. That's not right. Let me give you another one. Hang on. Somehow it seems like it's not okay to make light of hell. In other words, if someone uses that word, oh my, oh my, oh my. In fact, there's some people who get upset when you mention it in church. I mean, some of you, if you were like me, at heart, I kind of twinged when I got ready to say it. I don't want to say that word. Sometimes we've had kids come through here, and when they come forward telling us they've received Christ, want to get baptized, and I'll tell them, you know that we're all sinners. Do you know that we're all sinners? Yeah, what's sin? They'll say, well, the things that God doesn't want us to do. And I said, well, what would happen to us if we died? If Jesus hadn't come, what would happen to us? We would have. And I appreciate the fact that they have enough fear to not want to say that awful name. And I understand, I appreciate that. But the fact is, we're more offended by someone using that word the wrong way than we are in someone using the name of the Lord in the wrong way. Hang tight. To call someone a mule using a three-letter biblical word offends us. But we can speak the name of our Lord and Savior to express disappointment, disgust, and that's considered more acceptable. I'm just saying, maybe it's just where I've walked. In other words, we're more worried about offending that person's going to hear my word than we are about him hearing my word. Now, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. Number three says, do not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for he will not hold him guiltless. Now, if that's all true, is it possible we're missing out on the blessings because we don't respect him enough? Remember, the first four is our relationship with him. Respect him enough to use his name properly. And actually, it reveals how we feel. Some folks are displeased with me right now for even alluding to these phrases in public. But wouldn't blink an eye when someone, a good person, just tossed the Lord's name into the conversation. The way we use the Lord's name reflects his place and position and authority in our lives. To take the name of the Lord in vain denotes an inappropriate familiarity, even a casualness about God. Now listen, he's our Heavenly Father. He said, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. That doesn't mean you go up to God and stick your pointy finger in his, I'll tell you what I need, God. No, this is God. No one goes into God's presence that does and lives, the Old Testament said, but we can come boldly to the throne of grace because we've been saved, and I can go, Father. This is Sterling. By the way, he knows. And I can come boldly. When I first came here, I've been scared of dogs and cats with us when I was a little kid. I'm not anymore, but I used to be scared to death. And they used to make fun of me. And when I came up here 13 years ago, I thought, well, I'm the preacher. Everybody in the world seems to have two doorbells. One goes ding-dong and one goes... And I said, I got to get over this real quick. And I don't know, the Lord just kind of gave me grace. I've gotten out of the car when I've seen two German shepherds going, you know. Hey, boy, how we doing? You know, I'm going, all right. I don't know, so help me. I think there's an angel goes around me. I really do. I've even had people say, I don't know what about you. He doesn't like anybody, but he's okay with you. But I'm good. But the fact is, I got to be careful. I get boldly out of my car in the face of grinding teeth. Coming boldly doesn't mean I don't go out there. You know what? I'm going to get out of that, you know. And I don't do that to God either. Because of His grace, I should be in hell. Not standing before the throne, kneeling before the throne, making my supplication appeal. People use His name in casual conversation. They explain, oh Lord, but have absolutely no expectation that the Lord would actually answer their call. It is as if they're calling out to someone or someone that does not exist. Using the name in such a way expresses to others that though we may attest to faith in the Lord, showing others here, in actuality we do not have faith that the Lord will interact in their lives because He said He will not hold us guiltless. And yet we use it. We don't expect anything Him to give us any kind of consequence. They're saying the Lord is impotent, indifferent to our needs, or possibly maybe He's non-existent. We would not want anyone to joke around with our name like that and use our name as a punchline or speak our name with disregard or disrespect, and yet we throw the name of the Lord around like a cheap joke. And again, I know there's good people who never, ever, ever intended that to be the poor person. I know that. But we've become so casual with our Lord. One last application. We call ourselves Christian, and then we live in a disrespectful way toward our Lord. We're more concerned with our comfort than in someone knowing about the Savior. We're more concerned with having our musical preferences and religious preferences met than making sure that God is pleased. We say we're going to worship God when we come to church, and sometimes what we're doing is coming to give ourselves a little pat on the back to make ourselves feel good, to show so-and-so that you just got a brand new mink coat. To sing the solos so everybody knows that I should be getting all the solos. We don't have that problem around here, but we really don't. We really don't have that problem here. I'm very pleased, but I don't want to go there. We saw the law, we saw the practice, number three. This is the last point, by the way. I don't know how long it's going to take. We're doing well. Let's see the consequence. The law, the practice, the consequence. Back at Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord, Jehovah, thy God, the one you say is your God, in vain, emptiness, misused, disrespected. For the Lord, here it is, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That little phrase, will not hold him guiltless, means is by no means innocent. By no means blameless. By no means free of guilt. He said, we use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You are not guiltless. Well, he knows he are not guiltless. Now, watch me. God is gracious. in that he will most likely not strike you dead if you slip and use his name inappropriately. I hate to say that. There's probably a lot of folks who can testify that. You're still here. But that doesn't mean that God is okay with it. He doesn't like us making light of him and his name. His name represents his character, his veracity, his verity. The way we use God's name reveals our assessment of his character. Did you catch that? I heard a lot of woes. Let me say it again in case you missed it. His name represents our assessment of his character. The way we use it. When you use the name of God, what does it say about your assessment of who God is? We got a lot of guys who can do a lot of things. Let's pretend we got several guys talking. And we needed to do a job around the church here or something, and we have a plumbing problem. And they're trying to say, well, who in the world can we get? Yeah, well, let's see. Well, I don't know. And one guy says, let's get the pastor. You know what I'm saying? Well, he can't do anything. No, I used to, but I'm not real good on that anyway. But they're probably right. But I wish they wouldn't laugh. You know? They just used my name in vain. That's their assessment of my worth within the situation. You'd feel real bad if all of a sudden somebody you're doing that to walked up behind you. Such practices may impede God's hand of blessing. We may not progress as far as we could have because we've disrespected him in our heart. We may not have had the success that God wanted us to have. Well, how do you know? I don't know, but we're never going to know unless we decide and remember that his mercies are new every morning. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's all gone. We want God to bless us and help us to prosper and have good success, but we do not even fear and respect God for who he is as we should. God is not going to hold us blameless. Why did God get so blunt that he will not and say, I'm not going to hold him blameless that uses my name in vain? You know why I think he said that? Because he knew that we would think, well, that's no big deal. I really think, thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God. Well, I probably don't do that. I will not hold you guiltless. Well, then I guess I better make sure I know what I'm doing. That's what he's saying. This is a big deal. People throw your name around and it's no big deal to them, but it is a big deal to you. You feel disrespected. You feel like you've been cut off at the knees. And yet the Lord, our God, who created us, and then we spit in his face, and then he sends his son to die on a cross to pay for that sin. And then we spit in his face again. He doesn't wink at this. We cannot say that it really doesn't matter because he just said it does. This is a big deal with God. God wants us to know that no one is getting away with tossing around his name in vain. You may think that you're getting away with it because he has not struck you dead. But God's not a crybaby and throw a fit every time someone uses his name wrong. He's long-suffering. Not slack, as some count slackness, but long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He's not a little baby, so he does. You hear what he says? I'm going to send him to hell. You know, that's what we think God is. He's holy, he's righteous, and he's just. But he's loving and he's merciful. Oh, my soul, if he wasn't merciful, we'd all be in hell right now. We get bored and toss us in. Get bored and toss us in. Because we're born sinners. But on the other hand, we cannot expect God to just bless us when we do such things. Almost done. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. This may seem like a minor infraction, but remember, sin begins in the heart. Have we lost a true fear and respect for God? We've quoted verses over and over on how we are to fear God over the years. The great commandment is to love the Lord thy God. Master, which is the great commandment of all? Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And if we really love the Lord as we should, I don't think we'd make light of his name. I think we would think with reverence before we spoke a holy name like that. That's the buses going out. They're not mad at me, just so you know, all our visitors here. We get them out in the buses. Right now, we've got to use the same driveway here to get them out of here. So they're going to get out of the way before we get rolling here. Now, the main purpose of our lives is to glorify God. That means let everybody see who he is. That's the main purpose of why we're living. So let everybody see who he is and know who he is. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. So you call me Lord, but you don't do what I say. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, that's within the heart, whether it be good or whether it be evil. How can we say we fear God and still be making light of his name? Do we think God can't hear? Then we don't know him very well. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. Including number 3, don't take the name of God's name in vain. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Father, thank you for speaking to hearts here this morning. We got a lot of good people here. But Lord, I want them to be great in your eyes. I want them to see I want to see their lives prosper. I want to see they have success in life. Lord, I pray that you bless. Speak to our hearts. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm not going to stand here and preach the message again. Let's stand to our feet. The piano and organ's going to play. Lord's spoken to your heart. Would you come? Would you come? Piano's going to play. Would you come?